Hey, the kiddos, I want you to give eye contact with me before you run, kiddos. I'm going to let you walk really super slowly. If you're ages 4 to 8, you get to walk super slow and line up in the back. Pretty good. Better than normal. Usually there's a mad sprint happening. All right, 4 to 8 years old, you get to go downstairs for Kingdom Kids. Thank you, Anna Vanilla, for teaching. That's awesome. All right, we're going to take up an offering in just a minute. It's so great to have you here today. Honestly, it's great to have a full house again. I love it. While you guys are getting ready to take up an offering and while the ushers are getting the baskets and stuff, I just wanted to give a couple announcements. Tonight at 6 p.m. here at the church, Jeff is going to be showing the film Free Burma Rangers. It's a documentary it's an awesome documentary to do with Burma, to do with a group of an organization called the Free Burma Rangers that come into heightened, really dangerous situations. They're born again believers and they bring the gospel and they bring like relief and aid into war zones, honestly. And so you can really get a good grasp on where our Karen people have come from, what they've gone through, what their families have gone through. And it's just a great documentary. It's not for small children. So parents, just use discretion. I mean, if you've got a 10-year-old that you watch super pretty intense action films with, they'll probably be fine. If you got a sensitive little sweetie pie that cries at a cartoon, you know, leave them at home, okay? So I'm just saying that it is a documentary. It's done tastefully, but it is kind of intense. So I just wanted to put that out there, okay? That's 6 p.m. tonight at the church for anyone who wants to participate, okay? One more announcement. Some of you might have seen a box out in the foyer full of baby bottles. This is the Plus One Guidance Center here in town, the Crisis Pregnancy Center in town's annual fundraiser, which we love to participate in. Basically, they send these bottles home. Anyone who wants to participate, take it home, fill it with your change, and bring it back. And then we get it to them. And this is actually one of their big fundraisers of the year. It's amazing how much money you can fit in change in one of these bottles. So I encourage you, go ahead and grab one of those on your way out. And then in the next couple weeks, bring it back and we'll collect them and we'll take them back to Plus One Guidance Center. We love this. This organization is making such a difference in the lives of people in our community. They are sharing practical things, helping parents know how to be parents, and they're also sharing the gospel. And they wanted me to announce saying that they're really desperately in need of actual helpers there too, like people, workers, especially if you speak Karen or Spanish. They said that's a special, special need. So if you can't meet that need, be praying for it, okay? All right. Ushers, why don't you come forward? All right, let's pray. Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you for this opportunity to give, to partner with you with our money. And Lord, we just acknowledge we only have this short few years on this earth to give you our resources and to sow into heaven. And Lord, we just say, Lord, right now, God, translate every dollar into souls and more souls. We give you this offering out of a cheerful heart. God, take it. And let the gospel be spread all over the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good job, girl. All right, hope you got your notes. I got a lot of scripture that I'll go through. I don't know if I'll go through all of them. We'll see how time goes. But got a lot of scripture. I'm excited. This is one of my favorite things to talk about. Some of my favorite messages are when I have just lots of Bible verses and it's just like go through them and just pull out beautiful, wonderful things that are in them. So I just love doing that. So I'm going to talk today about Jesus. That's a good idea. And that he's fully God and he's fully human. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But I want to start here. First of all, when I love it. Like one of my favorite things is I go around in town. And I just knock on doors, and I pray for people, meet people, pray with them, share the gospel with them. And one of my favorite things to do is when I meet somebody who doesn't even know at all who Jesus is. And usually what I do, when you're talking with somebody about Jesus and they've never even heard that name before, where do you start? So when I go like, hey, do you know, I pray to Jesus, do you know who that is? And they're like, no, never heard of Jesus before. And I'm like, my heart starts getting happy. I'm like, praise the Lord. And this is what I usually start with. I just say, okay, well, Jesus, he is God. And there's one God who made you. He's the one who created you. He created all the people on the earth. He created everything on the earth that you can see, the trees, the sky, the birds, the animals, the people, the rivers, the oceans. Like, there's one God who made it all, and Jesus is God, and he made everything, and he loves you. And so usually I start there, but I'm going to show you this quick video. It's a kid's video, but I think it explains how Jesus created everything really good, what the Bible says. So can we just have somebody hit the lights, the front lights? And then I'll have Cecile just play this video. It's a little over 3 minutes. This would give you a good summary of Genesis 1 and 2 when Jesus created everything. Make sure the audio is on too, the computer audio is coming turned up. You got to drag it over. Yeah, there you go. Awesome. Okay. Volume on, is up on the soundboard.
Was formless and empty. Darkness covered the deep waters.
Hold on. Pause it.
Was hovered above.
Open the window that has the worship music playing on YouTube and pause that. Yeah. And it, there you go. And go back to there. And then just start it over again. Go back to the beginning and start it over.
In the beginning,
good job,
God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovered above the surface of the waters. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. Evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters, to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." God called this the sky. Evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas. God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with plants, trees, and trees that produce seeds that grow fruit." And God saw that it was good. Evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." God made two great lights, the sun and the moon. Then he painted the night sky with stars and saw that it was good. Evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." And God saw that it was good. Evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind." God saw that it was good. On the same day, God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals. So God created human beings in his own image, a male and a female. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. I have given you everything that has life." Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. On the seventh day, God had finished his creation, so he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy.
All right. Thank you. You can get the lights back on.
Stories of...
Praise God. Thank you, guys. Yeah, so that's a good summary of Genesis 1 and 2. So here's the deal about a lot of... God is really, really big. God is eternal. What that means is he has no beginning. So you and I have a beginning. There was a point in time where you were conceived in your mother's womb and you became a living being, right? But God is eternal, meaning he never has a time where he just started. He has always been. So you can go backward to, go back 100 years from now, God was there. You can go back another 500 years, God was there. You can go back another couple thousand years, God was there. Go all the way back to Genesis 1, God was there. But then what? Keep going. God was there. 10 billion years ago, God was. In fact, he, in one of his names, he says, "I am." It's because he has no beginning. He has always been. He is by very nature. He is eternal. And good news is he has no end. He's going to go on forever and ever and ever. Amen. Human beings are not like God in the sense that we came into being at a point in time because he created us. He is the creator. He was never created. He is the creator. He has always been. He created human beings. But we were made in his likeness as eternal beings, meaning once you came into being, you will never cease to exist. Once you came into being and you became a human being, you can never cease to exist, even if you tried. Even the person who goes and says, "I hate this life, it's painful, I don't want anymore," and they kill themselves, they're going to find out they're still living. Next week, I'm going to preach on the resurrection, and we'll talk about what happens with that. But you live in heaven or you live in hell, but you're going to live there forever, and you're going to be conscious, and you're going to be alive. Anyway, we'll look at that another time. But what I want to do today is I want to look at these scriptures, because God is this eternal God, and because we sinned against God, people did, we have this fallen nature and a mind that becomes depraved. And we would never know who God is unless he came to us and he stooped down to our level and he made himself known to us. Nobody would ever figure out by themselves without God's help who God is. They would never figure it out. That's why people, even now, you know, in different places of the world, you know, they grew up in a Muslim country, they grew up in a Buddhist country, they grew up whatever, but they're like, "Who is God? Where is he?" And they're wondering, and they don't know, and they can't find their way to the Creator. But what the good news is this: the Creator, his heart burns with passion to be united with them. And he wants them to know him. And so he goes out of his way to reveal himself. I remember when my kids were little and we would play hide and go seek. We would play hide and go seek in the house. If I didn't want them to find me, they never would have found me. It's not because I'm good at the game. It's because they were like four, right? Four and five. And I would hide, and they could never find me. But you know what? The reason I was playing the game is I wanted to be found, right? I wanted them to have a good time. It was the connection with my kids the reason. I don't particularly like get a kick out of just playing hide and seek, but I do like connecting with my kids. So I'd hide, and they could not find me. They'd be looking all over the place. I'm like, how in the world did they just walk by me again? Like, over and over again. So you know what I started doing? I started, like, giving them clues so they knew where I'd be. They'd turn around and go the other way, and I go, burr! And they'd be like, what? And then I go, burr! And I keep doing it, and then they'd come closer, and they start going the wrong way, and I'd be like, burr! And they'd go, oh, what? That? Daddy, I found you. I'm like, ah. And then we hug and then we play. And I'm like, yeah, that's the whole point, right? That's what I wanted all along. It's the connection with my kids. And in the same way, if God didn't want a relationship with people, no problem. We would never find him. We're disqualified in the purpose that he even made us, because he made us for relationship with himself. And then when that relationship was broken because we chose to rebel against him, he actually went out and we couldn't find him. And then our minds became darkened, is actually what Romans says. Our minds, our understanding of who God was became darkened, and people started making idols and like, this is God. And they started worshiping different things, and they started, you know, all this kind of stuff. And God's like, I want them to know who I really am. And to me, that is why the truth, the biblical truth about Jesus, the eternal God, at a point in time became a human being. And he came down to our level and he said, here I am. Jesus is God. And I want you to see two things as we go through these scriptures, okay? The first thing I want you to see in these scriptures very clearly, and I want you to take my word for it, I want you to see it for yourself in the Bible. That's why I have tons of verses here. That Jesus is actually God. Jesus is God. The second thing I want you to see, Jesus is also fully human. Like I said, Jesus has always been God. He was there at creation that we just watched the video about. He was there. The let there be light, let there be, you know, living creatures and all this stuff. He was there participating in that process. He was there. He's always been God. Yet at a point in time, he became a human being. He has not been any human being eternally, but he's always been God. But at a point in time, without ceasing to be God, he also became a human being, and his condition is now permanent. When he chose to become a human being, it wasn't just this like 33-year crazy season in his eternal life. It's like, whoa, that's what it's like for those guys. Wow. It's not like he just put on a human body and then took it off again, and then he went back to being how he was before. When Jesus became a human being, he became a human being permanently, forever. That's why after he rose from the dead and they saw him, what was he in? He was in a body, a human body. He wasn't an alien. He wasn't a ghost. He was not a disembodied spirit. He actually says, guys, because at first they saw him and they freaked out. They're like, whoa, you're alive. We saw you die, but now you're alive? Like, that's what? And he's like, guys, I'm not a ghost. I'm not a vision. He's like, go ahead, touch me. Feel my hands. And they'd touch him. He'd eat food with them. He's like, I'm not just a vision. I'm not just a ghost. I'm in a human physical body, and he's in a resurrected body forever. We're going to talk about that next week. But I want you to see these two things because they're both true, and you're not going to you're not going to fully be able to understand who Jesus is without knowing that he is God, and at the same time, he is a human being forever. You guys get that? Okay, so let's look at the scriptures. First of all, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is some of the scriptures we use at Christmas time, right? For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. You guys seen this? You heard this before at Christmas? How many of you have heard this at Christmas time? It's on Christmas cards all the time. Talk about Jesus being born, right? It's a prophecy that God spoke through Isaiah way back in the Old Testament. And he says, there's going to be, God is going to give us, a son is going to be given, a child is going to be born, and the government will be on his shoulders, meaning governmental authority over not only Israel, but all the nations on earth will be given to this human being when this person's born. God had chosen his method to save the world from sin and from the curse of sin. He's like, I'm going to give you a human being, and I'm going to give him governmental authority over all the nations of the earth, and he's going to carry out my plan of redemption. Then it says this, the government, that's what it means when the government is on his shoulders. It's his responsibility. Then it says, and he will be called this child. So we know it's a human being. You with me? This child who will rule all the nations. What does it say about him? It says he will be called, he's a wonderful counselor. What else does it say next? He is mighty what? You see that? He's a child. He's fully human. But yet the scriptures say this child, when he's born, he's more than just a human being. He is mighty God. He is God. Amen? Then it says he's an everlasting father. These are good to meditate on, but I'm going to go on. Prince of Peace. Now let's go to the next scripture, Isaiah 7:14. Another prophecy that we use at Christmas time about the birth of Jesus. All right, then. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. So he's talking about the same child. This is Isaiah, same guy who did the verse before. And he says, this is interesting. Now we get a little more information about this special child that's going to be born. It says the virgin will give birth to him. Like, that's not possible. It says the virgin will be born to him. How many of you know there's nobody who's going to be able to fake fulfill this prophecy? Right? Somebody who says, I'm the Messiah. I'm going to be the Messiah and make everybody follow me. And he's like, oh, I can't fake that one. Like, that's, can't do it. But it says this child, he will be born of a virgin. She will give birth to a son. So we know this is a human being. But we also know it's a miraculous, supernatural birth the way he's conceived. Because she's never been with a man. She's a virgin. Yet she's pregnant. And she'll give birth to not a vapor, not a ghost, a child with bones and flesh, a human being, a real physical child. And it says she'll give birth to a son and we'll call him Emmanuel, which means what? Wait, who is? So it says about this son, he is, hey guys, now God is with you. Once he's born, God is with you. That's who Jesus is. Amen. Let's look at the next one. Let's look at it when it's fulfilled, Matthew 1:20-25. So hundreds of years after Isaiah prophesied this verse, it was fulfilled. And Joseph, who was engaged to the mother of Jesus, Mary, was visited by an angel. And the angel told him, hey, your fiance is pregnant. Of course, he knew this already. He's like, yeah, I kind of figured that out. This is my paraphrase, by the way. This isn't word for word. He's like, yeah, I know. He's like, I kind of we're not married yet. She's pregnant. She's obviously been unfaithful to me. I'm calling off the wedding. And the angel's like, hey, don't call off the wedding. It's not what you think. He's like, this child that's in her, it's from God. It's a supernatural thing. And then he says, you remember that verse in Isaiah that you've learned? He's like, guess what? The woman you're going to marry is the virgin that's going to give birth to the child whom the government of the nations of the world will be his responsibility. It's like, what? And he's God. And it goes, and that's basically what it says. And he says, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. So who are we speaking of? Yeah, it's Jesus, right? I'm just making sure you're still awake. For he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet that I just read to you before. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So again, Jesus is that child, and Jesus is God. So let's go to the next one. John the Baptist comes along. For time's sake, I wanted to go into Isaiah prophesied that a prophet would come who would prepare the way for this child, this Messiah, this king to be born. And when John the Baptist shows up, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. And look what he says about Jesus. This is a quirky little phrase he gets out here in a little bit. First he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? So we know this is true about Jesus. He is the one who's going to take away the sin of the world, right? But then he says this weird phrase. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Does that make sense? It makes sense if you understand who Jesus is. He's God. Now, physically, in terms of physical age, John the Baptist was actually older than Jesus was by like 6 months, I think it was. So John the Baptist was born. 6 months later, Jesus was born. And yet John the Baptist says about him many years later when they're adults, he says about Jesus, he's like, this guy, he's greater than me. That's, I mean, he surpassed me because he was before me. He was before me. It's like, hey, how could he have been before you? You're older than he is. But John understood, dude, I've studied these prophecies. He's like, this is God, everlasting, mighty God. That's what I mean. He's before me. He's always been. He was there when it said, let there be light. This is who it is. And John understood that. And he's proclaiming, guys, wake up. Everybody, I'm announcing right now. You know the guy Isaiah prophesied about and all these other prophets prophesied about that I don't have time to say this morning? He's like, this is him, the God-man who will have governmental authority and responsibility over all the nations of the earth and bring redemption. This is the man. So John the Baptist proclaimed him to be God. Then it says this, John chapter 10. Jesus is talking here, and he claimed to be God, and everyone, all the Jewish people around him who understood the Old Testament scriptures, they knew he was claiming himself to be God. Here's something I want to just let you know about. In the Old Testament, there was a law given to them that anybody who led Israel astray from worshiping the one true God was to be stoned. So when someone would come along and say, I'm God, worship me. You know, those in Israel would be like, no, you're not. Right? And they would be stoned to death, literally, because that was actually commanded them to do that in the Old Testament. It was the legal law of the nation to prevent idolatry. So look what happens. Jesus comes and he says, I and the Father, God the Father, are one. He's proclaiming divinity right there. It's like, I'm God. Then he says this. And then look what happened. Instantly, again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But because they understood he's proclaiming himself to be God. And they're like, no, he's not. And they're wrong. Because they're like, you're a human being. You can't be God. They were wrong. But then it says this, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? Listen to what they say. We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, here it is, a mere man, he is fully human, claim to be God. You guys see it? You get both in the same verse. You're like, you're a man, and yet you're claiming to be God. Then it goes on in John chapter 8. Let's look at the next verse. Your father Abraham, this is Jesus talking. He's talking to the Jewish people. It says, your ancestor Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. I love this verse so much. He saw it and was glad. He's like, guys, I remember Abraham. was a good friend of mine. Abraham, your ancestor, great, 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 great grandfather that you guys are all so proud of. Do you know that he was my friend and he's a good guy. I love him so much. He was so excited about my day. I am his seed that was to come anyway. And then the people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you have seen Abraham? They're like, Abraham lived like several thousand years ago. You're not even 50 yet. What are you saying that you've seen Abraham? You can't have seen Abraham. You're not thousands of years old. Listen to Jesus' response. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am. Oh my goodness. I am. He even had to go there. Because that was like the name, the sacred name that God gave to Moses. Moses is like, who are you? What's your name? God's like, I am who I am. So it was a sacred name. Like the Jewish people wouldn't even say it. It was so sacred, they didn't even want to say that name. And then Jesus comes along and he's like, they're like, man, you're not even 50. What are you saying you knew Abraham? And he's like, guys, even before Abraham was born, I am. I've always been. I am the eternal God. I knew Abraham's my friend. He's your ancestor. He's my friend. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him. Again, because they're like, he's claiming himself to be God. They assumed it was blasphemy, but it wasn't because it was true. Let's look at John 5:18. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father. Listen to this. Making himself equal with God. Do you guys see this? I mean, Jesus is God. Jesus claimed himself to be God. And all the people who were understood the Old Testament at the time, they totally got what he was claiming. They didn't like it, but they understood what he was claiming, that he was God. And then it says in John 17, verse 5, Jesus is praying to his Father in heaven, God the Father. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence. Listen to this. With the glory I had with you before the world began. You guys see it? I mean, this is so clear. There's so many verses that God just clearly spell out. Jesus is like, Father, 32 and a, almost 33 years ago, I took on this human body. And now I'm about to die on the cross. He says, but I'm trusting you that you're going to raise me from the dead and you're going to glorify me with you with the same glory that we've always had. Even before Genesis 1 happened, before the world began. And then let's do John 1. This is another really good one. John 1, 1 through 14. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to do a few verses of it that I have on there. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. And the Word, what? The Word was who?
God.
Okay, so who is this Word? What's he talking about? Because this Word is God. He existed in the beginning with God. Talking about when God created all things. God created everything through him, this Word. God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. You need to just meditate on these verses. Like, God, who are you? And then meditate on these verses and write down, who are you, God? He's like, I'm full of unfailing love. I'm bursting with life. And my life brings light to everybody. I am full of faithfulness. And he says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, Jesus. John 1:18. I love this one. No one has ever seen God. Like up until that point, they're like, No one's ever seen him. I mean, they've heard him. They've heard his voice. But no one's ever seen God. He's like, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son who is himself, what? God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Isn't that awesome? What a great Jesus is God verse. I love these verses. I like to do this in my Bible. Whenever I come across, I'm reading and I come across a verse that says plainly Jesus is God, I'm like, ooh. And I usually write, underline it and write in the margin, Jesus is God, right by it, because I just love those verses. 1 Timothy 3:16. This is the Apostle Paul proclaimed Jesus as God. So the Old Testament prophets did. John the Baptist did. Jesus himself claimed to be God. The apostles claimed and preached that Jesus is God. We just read John did, and now the Apostle Paul says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Listen to this. God manifested, was manifested in the flesh, in a human body. You get it? So clear about Jesus. Justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. And so Paul says it so clear. Jesus is God in a human body. Fully human, fully God. Colossians 2 verse 9, this is a really clear one. Paul writes again, for in Christ, that's Jesus, lives, listen, all the fullness of God, what? In a human body. Do you see these two things? He is God, the fullness of God, and yet he is fully human at the same time. Colossians 1, we're almost there, guys. Y'all are hanging in there well. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Christ, listen to this, is the exact likeness of the unseen God. In other words, he's the visible representation of the invisible. He existed before anything was created. This is Jesus. He existed before anything was even created. Why? Because he's the eternal God who has always been. And he is supreme over all of creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. It's like demonic powers, angels, principalities, those kind of things. Like God created everything in the heavenly realm, in the spirit realm, as well as everything in the natural earthly realm. He's the Lord over all of it. Jesus is. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Oh my goodness. What an awesome verse. Like, anyway, meditate on that. John 20, 27 through 28. Jesus said to Thomas, because this is after he was raised from the dead, he's in a human body, and Thomas, one of his own disciples, is looking at him going, no, it can't be. I saw you die. You were crucified. You were buried. You were in the tomb. You were dead. And just to make sure that you were dead, they pierced your side and your guts came out. Literally, that's what had the water and the blood spilled on the ground. I mean, it was confirmed. You were absolutely dead. And what? And Jesus is going, it's really me, Thomas. Thomas is like, hallelujah. No way. What? You're still there. Jesus is like, I'm still here. This is me. Jesus said to Thomas, he's like, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side where he was stabbed. Then he says, stop doubting and believe. What does Thomas know about the Messiah? And what does he say about Jesus? At that moment, he gets it. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. The Apostle Thomas worshiped the risen Jesus as not only his Lord, but as God, the one true God. Amen? And then it says, Christ came, Romans 9, 5. Christ came. He is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. That's what he says. So clear. Titus 2:13. There's actually a lot. There's more verses. But I have to limit my message this morning, so I squeeze in as much as I can. But I had to literally cut verses off of my notes this morning. But this is enough. You get the point. Titus 2:13. This is the last one I'll say. Oh, man, I wanted to do Hebrews. Oh, no, I did Hebrews. Did I already do a Hebrews verse? Do I have one on your sheet, a Hebrews one? I didn't do it, did I? I don't have it on my notes. Can I see your notes? Can I borrow yours, Elisha? Because you got to do Hebrews 3, because that was good. Okay, I'll do Titus first. Titus 2:13. Now, how many of you know we're waiting for Jesus to return? Because he was risen from the dead. He ascended back up into the heaven. By the way, still in his human body. They watched him in his human body go back up into heaven. That's where he is right now. He's still there in his physical body. And he's at the right hand of the Father, just waiting for the moment when all things are ready. And he will come back and complete what he started at his first coming. And he will rule the nations, and it'll be awesome. So it's going to be really, really good. And so that's the blessed hope. We're waiting, like, come back, Jesus, and manifest your righteous rule, your government that's been given to you, manifest it in all the earth so that peace and righteousness would come forth and justice. So that's the blessed hope. And Paul says, we wait for this blessed hope, the appearing of the glory, listen to this, of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like Paul clearly proclaims that Jesus Christ, who's coming back again, is himself, he is the eternal God. Amen? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But God the Son is fully God. In Hebrews 1:3, last verse, the Son, that's Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory. I love this. And the exact representation of his being. How about this quality? Jesus sustains all things by his powerful word. That's crazy. How does it, you know, scientists know this. You study astronomy. It's like you got the sun, you got the moon, you got the stars, you got the planets. There's like a rotation of the planets, and they go at this exact speed. Like each planet is different. And it's like, and the earth, I'm not a scientist. I apologize in advance for any misrepresentation about what I'm about to say. But you get the point. It's generally true, what I'm about to say. The earth is the exact perfect distance away from the sun for life to be sustained on this planet. And it rotates, so there's seasons. I don't know why it seems winter is a longer season in South Dakota, but there is a really good scientific reason for that. But anyway... But it's exact, and it's like everything, listen, guys, ever since Genesis 1, when he kicked the whole thing off, and he set it all up on the perfect timer so everything would rotate perfectly. Isn't it interesting that our days are 24 hours long, and tomorrow, another 24 hours? It's like always the sun will rise, the sun will go down, the sun will rise, the sun will go down. It's like, how does this keep going? Everything like clockwork. What about your heartbeat? Everyone in this room right now, ever since you were conceived in your mother's womb, your heart kicked off. There was a point in time where there was a first beat. And it's never stopped ever since. But you never think about it. If your heart stops beating, you're dead. Like, how many of you know this is a big deal? Yet none of us, we're not worried about it. We can't make our heart beat if we wanted to. We can't do it. It just goes on in perfect rhythm. How? How does it stay there? I'm not doing anything to make my heart go perfect. But God's like, I sustain all things by the power of my word. Like, this is Jesus. He's like, I created all things. And it's not like he just created it and then like, I'm done with it. I'm done. It's like, no, he created it and then he oversees his creation. He's intimately involved in his creation, even to the tiniest baby in the womb, conceived. He breathes that breath of life and it never stops. And now this is a brand new eternal being. They were created to know him. They were created to glorify him in life. Jesus is the eternal God. He loves people. He doesn't just love people. He loves the whole of his creation. And he's like, I'm going to redeem it all. I'm not going to let this puny little devil that I created destroy it all. I made it for my pleasure. I made it for their pleasure. I made it that they would live on the earth with me in relationship forever in righteousness and blessing and joy, and that it would never stop. Right? And the devil comes and he thinks he's won. Jesus is like, I'm going to become a human being and redeem it all and fulfill what I actually initially set out to do. Jesus is amazing. If you know Jesus and you have him and you're following him, you have everything you need for life and for eternity. He is everything. Jesus even said this to his father. He was praying in John 17. He says, this is eternal life. What is it? God, define it, Jesus. This is eternal life. This one thing. If they got this, this is eternal life. What is it? That they may know you. That they may know you. So this is what I want to ask you this morning. Jesus is God. He loves you before you ever thought about him. He created you with a purpose and a plan, not just for your 84, 85, 90 years, whatever it is you live on this planet, but for eternity. He has an eternal plan for you. Do you know there are assignments and things that you're going to be doing in the age to come after he returns? He already knows. He's already got a plan for your eternal life, not only in this age, but also in the age to come after he returns. He's got it. Now we get to choose, and you got to get this. Jesus is going to do his plan, but his plan for your life, you have a choice. You can choose to follow him and trust him and know him, and he'll make sure as you walk with him, just do what he says. He'll lead you. Trust me, I know my plan for you. You don't know it very well. Just follow me, right? Over here. Go over there. Right? It's like, he'll make sure if you look for him and search for him and follow him, he'll make sure you get into it. He'll guide you into it. But you can also choose to not seek him, and you can choose to disobey and do your own thing, and then you will not fulfill the good plans he had for you. And that's not a good thing. You have a choice. Do you know Jesus, the one true God? Do you have a relationship with him, and are you following him and worshiping him as your God and following him as your Lord? I'm just going to invite you to stand with me right now. You guys have done good. I went through tons of verses, and I know sometimes that's challenging to listen to when I'm on your end out there. It's like stories are easier to listen to. So y'all did good, but do you know God? And do you want to know Jesus? I'm going to actually did not tell him we're going to do this. Could you play Yeshua off the top? Like, Yeshua, you are God, you are good, you are Jesus. Yeah, because it's the Jesus is God song. I like that one. Sorry, I meant to tell you that before. I want to worship him. I just want to worship him as God on purpose right now. And if you want to know God, I want to pray with you, and then I'm going to tell you, worship him with us for the first time. Maybe it'll be your first time ever. I believe you're God, Jesus. And I'm going to follow you and be part of your kingdom forever. Thank you for making me. You made me for a good purpose. I am yours. Come into my life. Amen? So I just want you to pray with me. If you want to know God, just say, Jesus, I believe that you are God. Thank you for making me. Thank you for making the earth. Thank you for the mountains. Thank you for the rivers. Thank you for the flowers. Thank you for the singing birds. Thank you for making me to live here with you in your wonderful kingdom forever. Jesus, forgive my sin. Forgive me for disobeying you. From this moment forward, I want to live for you. You are my God, and I am yours forever. So let's just worship the Lord. And here's how you worship if you've never done this before. When we're singing songs, sometimes it's like, what do I do? How is that worshiping God? I encourage you to think about the words. If you can, is it possible to get the words up on the screen? Yeshua is the name of the
Yeshua
song.
Yeshua Will Reagan, or United Pursuit, but probably Will Reagan.
Here's what I do when I worship sometimes. If I know the song, I can just sing it. But if I don't know the song, I like to look at the words and actually think about what they're saying. And then consciously in my heart, I agree with them. So when it's like, Yeshua, that's the Hebrew name for Jesus. It just says Jesus in Hebrew. When it sings, Yeshua, I love you. And you just think about that and say, I do love you, Jesus. I agree. I love you. When it says, you are God, you are good. It's like, man, you are God. I believe that. You are good. Thank you. I believe that. That's worship. It's in your heart. You're thinking about what you're saying and you're consciously agreeing with it and telling God thank you that that's true about him. Does that make sense? So I want you to actually not just sing a song. I want you to engage your mind and your heart and actually worship Jesus. Amen. We're going to do this for a few minutes and then I'll come up and dismiss. Get the front light, the lights in the front turn off.
Praise the Lord.
There it is.
Praise the one who has saved me from death. He is God. He is good. Yes.
God, release your healing presence right now in this room. Father, we just pray for anyone in here that has sickness, infirmity, and injury in any way. Right now, God, we just ask that you would heal, that you would heal them in Jesus' name. Release your presence and heal them right now in Jesus' name.
You are God. You are good. You are Jesus. You are God. You are good. You are Jesus. Yeshua, I love you.
Amen.
Yeshua, I love you.
If you want healing for something, I just want you real quick to just raise your hand. And we're just going to pray for you for healing. So we got Shannon over there, Jacinta in the back, Clint back there. So if you're around somebody, near somebody that has their hand raised, I want you to just gather around them. Just turn around and look. Go to them quickly. If it's okay with them, you can just put your hand on their shoulder. And then just ask Jesus, who is God, ask him to heal them. Ask him to heal them. God, heal them. You have all power. You sustain all things by the power of your word. God, we declare healing now. We bless their bodies to be healed and to fully recover from this sickness, this disease, this injury. We command their bodies to be healed in Jesus' name. You are the Lord, our healer.